Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, to some of your calls, we're inviting undocumented immigrants to tell us how you're changing any plans or making any plans to protect yourself against Donald Trump. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. You or anyone you know, let's expand it to that, 212-433-9692. Walter in Queens, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling, Walter. Hi.
Mr. Lehrer, good morning. How are you today?
I'm okay, thank you.
Well, yes, my wife and I came 20 years to New York, and we come from Ecuador. We haven't been able to go back. I have no interest in going back. I love this country. I have a child who just got accepted to Yale University.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yes, sir, thank you. And we have been victims of unethical people continuously. I've worked for some companies that took part of my salary
like wage theft, because they could take advantage of you because you're undocumented?
Yes, and my wife is not able to work because she has a learning disability, but now we are really scared with all these
with the incoming president.
With incoming president, what happened is, if you allow me, we have a saying in South America that says a fool can make more damage than a hurricane or an earthquake. And we don't see Mr. Trump as a prudent people, as a prudent person. So we are fearful, but we don't have too many options. The only hope is that sometime, if we get in trouble, we can appeal to the fact that we have a child born here in 1998, and that goes to, an Ivy League school. I don't know if that really matters.
Yes, so your Yaley was born here, and yet you're still not protected under the law. So are you going to do anything different to protect yourself, or just kind of raise your voice like you're doing now?
Well, to be honest, Mr. Lehrer, it's frightening to be an illegal immigrant when you're... I mean, at least New York is so... I live in Corona, Queens, where there is a lot of people from a lot of different countries.
Yeah.
And we kind of feel like safe, but, you know... Taking a trip into the city, into New York, you find some threatening people that actually look scary. They some people love to hate immigrants, and we like I said, I don't have any interest in leaving America. Not only because of my immigration status, but I love this country. My wife loves this country. My kid, you know, it's a great country. My kid got the scholarships all throughout elementary and middle school. And the only thing that I would say we're gonna do different is avoid white people that. That are aggressive and love to bully minorities.
Walter, thank you for your call. Good luck to you and your family.
Thank you so much, Mr. Lehrer. Have a great day.
You too. Gene on Long Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Gene.
Oh, hi, Brian. How are you doing?
Good.
My story is that I came here about like 15 years ago. Actually, my mom brought me here. She applied for me and everything. But the way that I came here, it was a program that called REFA. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I don't know that one, no.
Okay, and I came here, it was like one day before I turned 21. And the thing is, when we went through all the process and everything with the immigration, And then I remember the lady said to us that my lawyer asked her, what am I supposed to do? Because they were not going to give me my green card. And she said,
right.
That
and you were a little too old for DACA, right?
I don't know about that program. I have no idea.
Okay.
Because when I came here, that program was not even out.
Yeah. Well, it was just over the last few years, but you had to be in a certain age range of young adult.
Exactly.
And it sounds like, from what you say, you're a little too old. But anyway, go ahead.
And she said to me that the only thing I have to do now is just wait until the law changes, because the fact that I turned 21, I am no longer a child. They cannot give me my status. And since then, I'm here, you know. There was nothing I could do until just wait for the law to change. It's just unacceptable. Well,
are you doing anything or considering any change of plans with the incoming Trump administration?
Well, honestly, I really don't know what to do. You know, I'm here, and you know, I'm just wait to see what's gonna happen, because I really don't have a plan right now. What if they want to deport me whatsoever? I really don't know what am I gonna do. Honestly, you know, I'm hoping for the best. But, you know, the fact that, you know, you came here legally, like everybody been talking about, I came here legally.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the law that was in the book, I ended up become illegal because of all the things that I was supposed to go through. And it was not like even my fault. You know what I'm saying? We follow the laws. But the fact that I came here one day before I turned 21, everything changed for me. And all my brothers and sisters, my dad, everybody came, all of us together, except me, that was not get my green card because of the law.
Gene, good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling. Maria in White Plains, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maria.
Hi, good morning, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. I'm just calling to say that I am just getting ready to fight back. I will continue educating myself, and I will continue to do everything that I have been done since I came to this country. Work very hard, passing through many situations. No insurance, paying taxes. I don't receive any benefits at all. But I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stick here. Because what I have built here since I came, I won't get it done in my country. And I will continue. I just have to be careful with whatever I do. My sons are in college. One is about to graduate. I cannot give up. If I'm afraid, that's not going to help me. I just need to fight back.
Maria, thank you very much. And here's another
welcome.
Maria in Brooklyn. Maria, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for having me. Yeah, I immigrated to the country when I was 11 years old with my family. And I teach at a university right now, and I have DACA. And I feel the same way. I feel that all of my education, my master's degree from Yale, all of these things have been in preparation for this one thing, which is my immigration status. There hasn't been a way to fix this. So now I want to be, and I am more publicly involved. Today I'm in Santa Rosa, California, and we're doing a protest to get the local city council to go with sanctuary cities and to kind of start preparing for anything like, you know, legal representation or any of those things.
How would you make the argument to people who are listening right now and maybe hearing undocumented person after undocumented person call in and say, you should have a right to be here? The one who said his daughter is going to Yale, got scholarships all the way through. Of course, that daughter, he said, is a citizen because she was born here. But people are thinking, well, there's only so many scholarships to go around. There's only so many spots at Yale to go around. Why should the child of somebody who's here illegally get it? You know, people are thinking all those things.
I can say this from personal experience. I have a bachelor's degree from Pratt Institute, a master's degree from Yale in fine arts. And it was not easy. When I was 18 years old, my parents couldn't pay for it. It isn't that we get it for free. It is that we work 1,000 times harder to get what we want, what we can get. And I am educating the next generation of students at Pratt Institute as an undocumented professor. They don't even know it. And we are providing to the same society that has given us a little bit of opportunity to get through. When I was a student, we couldn't qualify for financial aid. So there was no money. I couldn't get government loans. So it's not that we get it easy or that we are taking it away from other students. Is that we have to work much harder. And that means also being perfectly academic. It means all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it means staying out of trouble. There are just many things that we cannot do. The other argument is that I, for example, and many of us can just go back to our own countries. but I do not know Mexico. I speak better English than Spanish. I have no roots there besides my grandparents that I haven't seen in 20 years. So
that's why I guess the first line of sympathy that non-immigrant Americans have is for the DACA class like you, people who were brought here as children and may have been out of status, but you grew up as an American.
Yeah, I mean, I have all of my education pretty much has happened here in the United States. I consider myself from this country. I bear the same responsibilities of helping making this country better. And among my group, my artist group in New York or in California, I am like them. I don't have roots in Mexico. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Did you get a municipal ID, by the way? I'm just curious.
I have a California ID from my hometown, and I've been in New York now for 7 years, but I haven't applied for that yet. I will, though, because you get into museums for free, don't you? Isn't that part of it?
What? I'm sorry, what was the question?
I will be applying for it, but I haven't.
Right. Okay. Just curious, since the Speaker of the City Council was here talking about it. Maria, thank you very much. Good luck to you. And Bashir on the Upper West Side, you're on WNYC. Hello, Bashir.
Hi, Brian.
Thanks so much. I'm okay. Thank you so much for calling.
You're very welcome. Listen, I am a long-time listener of yours and a contributor to WNYC.
Thank you, sir.
Time caller. Pardon me if I get emotional, but...
It's all right. Let me help you through it if I need to. Are you here? Are you an undocumented immigrant?
Yes, I am.
And do you want to tell people your story, how you came to this country, or how you wound up out of status here?
I come to this country with a visitor's visa.
A visitor's visa? Uh-huh.
Yes, for business and visiting some friends, and decided to stay. It is, at that time, I didn't know that was illegal. But because where I come from, the way we... I'm sorry, though.
That's okay.
The way we understood this is your life.
I understand it's tough.
The way we understood things that time was that United States is a free country that people are free to do as long as they are obeying the law to live the way they want. So for me, deciding to stay was not because I decided to break any law. And also, my other point is this. I don't think people who in the other side of the argument understand that nobody who, like myself, who've been living in this country, doing the right thing every single day, raising a family, obeying every law we can think of it until today, for 25 years, would not like to see myself in the situation I'm finding myself today. I am a husband, a father. I have 3 kids. One is in 2 years of college. Another one is getting ready to graduate in, just admitted to the National Society of High School Scholars.
Congratulations.
Okay. Thank you very much. We don't like the situation.
That's all right. You don't like the suggestion that...
Exactly, but it's no opportunity. It's nothing that offered to us to be able to regulate our situation. And to give you an example, for example, Brian, can you cite me any country in the world except the United States that one, a citizen from any country and that country living for 25 years doing the right thing every single day, and it is no opportunity that offered to you to be able to regularize. It doesn't exist.
No opportunity to regularize despite the good life that you've been living in this country.
Exactly. It doesn't exist anywhere in the country and in the world. Sometimes I wonder, where is the heart of the people in the argument? Where is their heart? Where is their sense of humanity?
And is there any additional way that you need to protect yourself, do you feel, with the Trump administration coming in, with extra hostility?
I am ready for whatever happens. I have my trust in God. I'm a believer. Whatever happens, I'm ready for it. This is my attitude. But I'm not worrying about Trump or anybody else. I wake up every day, go to work, trying to do the right thing to put bread on the table for my family and do any contribution I can for my neighborhood and my and everything around me. This is my attitude, Brian.
Bashir, thank you so much for your call. Good luck to you and your family.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And thanks to all of you who called in and shared your stories of being undocumented at this moment.